The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Say ESPN, 888-729-3776. Here we go again. Ty Lue. I'll tell you what. Should call him the Undertaker or something. I mean, this dude just keeps rising. Can't keep him down. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Clips just get it done with their backs against the wall. This was it. That was the biggest game in the history of the Clippers franchise. Not close. Number one, by far, biggest game in the history of the franchise. Think about what happened last night. First, it's time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Think about what happened last night. The Clippers are down 0-2. It's their first ever Western Conference Finals. Not since they moved to Los Angeles. Their first ever franchise history. From the beginning of the universe until now, the Clippers have never been in a Western Conference Finals. They finally get there on the road. Their number one player's absent. They lose two nail-biters. Nevertheless, they're down 0-2. And now, it's the first home game in Clippers history in the Western Conference Finals. First Conference Finals home game. And the other team that's just beaten them twice and hadn't lost in nine straight playoff games is getting Chris Paul back. Chris Paul, who was a Clipper. Chris Paul, who's never been to a finals. The closest he ever came, Western Conference Finals. He's on a Houston team that has a chance to beat the mighty Golden State Warriors with KD and everyone, and he gets hurt. And I think because he got hurt, they lost. But now he's coming back. And if they beat the Clippers, it's over. No, they're not coming back down 0-3. And the Clippers beat him somehow. No Kawhi Leonard. That was the biggest game in Clippers history. We got a series. Paul George, 27 points, 15 boards. Zubac, 15 points, 16 boards. And by the way, that's one of the adjustments that Ty Lue makes. It's not just Ty Lue, you know, getting the guys rah-rah to stick together. He analyzes the game and makes the proper adjustments. Like a couple series ago, I'm like, why doesn't Rondo get some burn? Because Ty Lue thinks Reggie Jackson's playing better, and he is. The adjustment he made was we went small, played Batum at the five. You think just any coach would do that? They wouldn't. He did. You know, ask Sixers fans if just any coach would do that. By the way, and Clippers fans know well because they just had Doc Rivers. Doc wouldn't do that. Ty Lue did. And they won that series. And then coming into this series, he tried it again early. It didn't work, so he goes with Zubac, right, in game two. And they got better. They could dominate the boards better. And then it's not in game three, it's not simply, okay, Zubac gets more minutes. Let's bring Morris off the bench. Those are your 48 center minutes, right? And Boogie can't get any burn. He was out of position on that last defensive. Like take Boogie out of the rotation. Every button he pushed worked. Even without Kawhi Leonard with their backs against the wall to a team that had won nine straight playoff games. Nine straight. In the biggest game in Clippers history, at home, first ever conference finals game, they win without Kawhi. That's Ty Lue. That is Ty Lue. By the way, Paul George played well on the defensive end and was okay on the offensive end. Doris Burke was defending him, saying, hey, she's sick of all the kind of Paul George slander. He's exhausted. He's played more minutes than everyone. I agree with her. I don't blame Paul George for missing the two free throws and the game they lost. Like, you know, he missed them. It was a choke, but I'm not saying he's the reason they lost. His play is one of the reasons they were even in a position to win in the first place. I'm saying, like, let's be consistent. If Paul George is blamed for those free throws, let's also blame Kevin Durant for airballing a three with a series on the line in game seven. But we don't do that. I don't do that. Because we know he's exhausted. He played 53 minutes, the whole thing. And same thing with Paul George. I get it. But it's not like Paul George was setting the world on fire last night. It was the adjustments Ty Lue made. Put Patrick Beverley on Booker. Put Terrence Mann on Chris Paul. Play Zubac and Morris off the bench. Sit Boogie Cousins. Every time Ty Lue analyzes the game and says, this is what we need to do. He's playing chess with the other head coach. That's normally not how I view the NBA. I view the NBA as a star-driven league. Like baseball, it's all about the GM. You put the team together. That's the most important person in the franchise. Football, it's all about the coach because it's chess on human bodies. A.J. Liebling, the great boxing writer, once said, boxing is chess on human bodies. In fact, that's football. The coach is a chess player. Basketball is star-driven. So when you get a coach who's as good as having a star on your team, which I think Ty Lue is, he's actually playing chess like he's a football coach. And he's outplaying his opposite number. And yeah, that's Monty Williams, who himself is a great coach. You know, in some circles, the coach of the year this year. But when it matters most, I think Ty Lue. Like, what a performance. Like, it's not coincidence that his Cavs team, well, that's LeBron James, Ty Lue's coach, come back down 3-1. That he maybe we'll see. He's done it twice already in these playoffs, down 0-2 has come back. But to do it without Kawhi, I don't think they can. I don't think they're going to win this series without Kawhi Leonard, and he may be out. That knee may be, that's all, folks, for these playoffs for Kawhi. But the fact that they were able to get one, if Kawhi can come back, let me say it like this. If Kawhi comes back they're in for game four, they will win this series. If he doesn't, they will lose. But they'll have a shot to win because of Ty Lue. Chris Paul on the loss.
They outplayed us tonight, you know what I mean? We didn't make shots. You could tell they had, you know, a lot more energy. And I got to be better. I shot terrible, you know what I mean? I got to pick up the pace. We'll be ready game four.
And I think they will be. I mean, look, Devin Booker had his face broken and a face mask on. He's got to get used to that. Chris Paul's coming off of at least COVID health and safety protocols, if not COVID itself. Who knows, right? He's got to adjust to getting back, right? I get that. They're going to play better. They're not going to go 10 for 40 again combined. So Chris Paul steady the ship. And Devin Booker has the right attitude. But if Kawhi comes back, brother. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Meantime. Did I mention that was Straight Talk Wireless? No contract, no compromise? I did, Roger. Okay, very good. Now, let me tell you this. This is what I want to tell you. I'm just procrastinating until Raj gets... Okay, there we go. Raj is in control of my screen from L.A. We're still socially distanced for some reason, even though everyone's fully vaccinated. And Raj controls stuff remotely from L.A. I'm in New York. And a lot of times he likes to just have me sitting here waiting for him to do something. I don't know. He's managing his, what is it, fantasy baseball nowadays? Yeah? You get on the mic.
Getting ready.
What's that?
Yeah. I said, yeah, it's fantasy baseball nowadays. But you always say, and Beal attests to this, if it's on the screen, you'll read it. And so we had something on the screen earlier. You never read it. So I wasn't going to move your screen until you read it.
I see.
You read it.
That's
now we can move the screen.
Ty Lue, he's lying, everyone. Ty Lue had a message for Paul George after the two missed free throws. So I went over the X's and O's of Ty Lue. But it's not like these two things are mutually exclusive. Either you have a rah-rah coach who can instill confidence and keep everyone on the same page, or you have an X's and O's coach. It's not mutually exclusive. Ty Lue's both. He can relate to the players. The players can relate to him because he played not too long ago, right? And can keep them motivated and keep them confident and knows which buttons to push. After the game, we landed, got home. First person I called was PG, Paul George. Ty Lue told members of the media, I just told him we wouldn't be in this position without you. That's true. As the kids say, facts. That game's over. It happens. Doesn't mean anything. They took care of their two games at home. Now we got to go win our two games. That's the most important thing. We can't look at the past. We got to look ahead. Right. Ty Lue on the players believing in him.
It means a lot just to, you know, just for those guys to trust me, to understand that whatever I'm doing is the best for the team, you know, not for me, and I just want to win. And, you know, making adjustments, you know, sometimes it's tough because adjustments mean some guys can't play, you know, some guys play more, and you got to be able to accept that. And that's the biggest thing, but you have the communication with your team all year long and just talk about one common goal, and that's winning, and all of our guys are on board, you know, so... You know, I take pride in making adjustments and try to do the right thing, you know, but these guys are the ones who have to go out and execute it. They've been doing a great job with that so far.
Isn't it amazing when, like, a guy you figure is going to be remembered for one thing winds up remembered for another? Like when I was a kid, Freddie Roach was this great action fighter. He wasn't a great fighter. He was a contender. He used to fight on ESPN before ESPN really had much of a boxing budget. And he would win some exciting fights and lose some exciting fights, bled a lot and all that kind of stuff. And that's what I thought Freddie Roach would be like, kind of remembered by boxing, you know, junkies like me as a kid, as this fun TV fighter from the 80s. And then no one remembers that anymore. All they remember is one of the great all-time trainers. Ty Lue was going to be remembered for what? Iverson stepping over him. Let's face it, that was what was going to be, like, on his, when people say, what's going to be on your tombstone? The idea is, what are you going to be remembered for? He was going to be remembered for Allen Iverson stepping over him. No. Turns out, he, as I've been saying, is the best coach in the NBA. Now others are saying it as well. The best coach in the NBA. Apologies, Popovich. Apologies, Spoelstra. Apologies, Monty Williams. But if I had a team and I could choose any coach, well, it depends on the team. Nope, I want Ty Lue. No matter the team, I want Ty Lue. Now, is that enough if Book and CP3's shot starts falling? Here's Devin Booker on the key to getting past a 10 of 40 performance combined between him and Chris Paul.
I've been playing this game for a long time. You know, I've went through every type of shooting slump that you can think of. And, you know, the best advice that my dad gave me when I moved with them when I was 13 years old is have a short memory in this game. On to the next play, on to the next game, on to the next possession. So the quicker you can have a short memory and just be confident in yourself and the work that you've put in. And, you know, I've pretty much seen every type of situation on the court. So, you know, I believe in my work. So next game's going to be better.
I feel like it's going to come down to maybe somehow the two superstars left in these playoffs. I know Giannis is, but what I mean is Trae Young and Devin Booker. I feel like somehow it's going to come down to Booker. He's that kind of guy. You know, think about Kobe back in the day. Kobe, if you were a Kobe hater, if you rooted against the Lakers, he might miss a shot late in the game and, oh, that there it was, Kobe. Yeah, you blew it. You're going to lose this playoff game now. Just like Derek Jeter, you know, you struck out Jeter with the guy on second base and the game was on the line. It's the ninth inning. That's it. You had your chance to be a hero. You blew it. And people, ha ha ha, they're gleeful about it because they hate on those guys. Or Tom Brady, somehow that guy winds up with another chance with the game on the line. Same game, right? Or same series. Devin Booker is that kind of guy. The reason it seems that way, like a guy like Kobe or Jeter or Tom Brady, is because they've put in the work where, you know, luck is the residue of design. They will be ready for the opportunity when it comes up. Devin Booker strikes me as that kind of guy. And the Suns' fortunes, as much as Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton, and by the way, you know, if you talk about significant players, I said Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton, Jay Crowder, think of the pass he made to the alley-oop to Ayton. But I just named three guys other than Devin Booker. Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Cameron Payne. I mean, he's hurt too, but Saric, they go eight deep in the playoffs where you're happy you have every single one of those guys on your team. But it's Booker that's going to be the difference maker. EJ in San Antonio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Okay, now you put Ty Lue on the pedestal, and you forget about Pop, who's done more with less than any coach out there. Not only that, he has the league filled with many assistants and head coaches that studied under him. And so I understand Ty Lue is good with what he's doing right now, but he's always had superstars around him. He's never taken a superstar and said, you're going to be a starter off the bench, like Ginobili, who's a Hall of Famer. Like that.
I understand your point, but let me ask you this, EJ. Right now, let me put it a different way. You have a basketball team. You can choose any coach to be your team's coach, your franchise's coach. You want Popovich right now, or do you want Ty Lue?
Well, the answer would be this. I want the coach that everybody said they don't mind going to play for as their first choice when they start talking about moving around in the league, including LeBron James, who said, he'd love to play for Pop.
So no, actually, Ty Lue, I believe, would win that. If you gave superstars their choice and did ranked voting, ranked choice voting or something around the league, I bet you Ty Lue would come ahead of Popovich right now. He's much younger. By the way, it's not even like an ageist thing. But at a certain age, you're only going to be coaching for so much longer. So you want the guy the team can grow with, too. I hear you. By the way, that's why I say apologies, Popovich. I'm not. If you want to take Popovich, I'm not going to argue too strenuously against you. He might be the greatest coach of all time. Popovich, I mentioned Spoelstra. I mentioned Monty Williams. For my money, if it's my team and I'd have a chance to get Ty Lue, that's, if I could have anyone, that's the guy I want. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's going on, Max? Yeah, we got to tip the hat to Ty Lue today. But for me, it's also about the brain trust that's behind him. Let's not forget about Jerry West, and let's not forget about the richest owner in team sports. That's Steve Ballmer. But to the point, Max, Paul George shot 9 for 26 yesterday and was still a plus 23. While on the other side of the aisle, Chris Paul 5 for 19, Devin Booker 5 for 21, and they're both minus 15. In conclusion, the Clippers were down 2 at halftime, Max.
Yep.
Okay, came out the third and the fourth quarter and got the job done. This is a series that could easily be 2-1 Clippers. They can go to the finals as constituted. They are for real.
Yeah, by the way, I thought this was key too. So I mentioned all the adjustments he made, the fact that the guys, you know, stuck with him and everything. But let me tell you something else that shows you a well-coached team in terms of the leadership and confidence. Do you remember late in the fourth quarter, Luke Kennard had a good look at a three? It was a 16-point Clipper lead. There was under 10 minutes to go. And he misses the three. It would have made it a 19-point game. And they go the other way, and they cut it to 13. From 16 to 13, they hit a three. And then before you know it, it's single digits, like a 6-point lead. At that point, a team that is not as well-coached as the Clippers loses the game because it feels like the walls are falling down around them, right? It feels like the sky is falling. We had it. It was about to be, if that shot just falls, we're up 19 with under 20. We're going to win this game. It's like a 95-plus percent probability at that point. But, oh, instead of 19, it's 16. Then they scored. It's 13. It's like a 6-point swing. And then a couple possessions later, wait, we're down to what? That team down 0-2 without their best player in front of a home crowd, Stephen A. reported today, was lackluster. That team loses if they're not well coached. But a Ty Lue team doesn't fold. I know it sounds funny. Wait, they're up 16 instead of 19, and that's pivotal? Yes. Yes. That's the kind of moment that I'm looking at. When Kennard missed that three, let me see what happens here. Ooh, it's 13. You turn around, you're like, what is it, like 6 points? What could have been 19 points a minute ago? Now it's a 6-point game? Ooh, this is trouble. And they don't have their best player on the floor? You can even think about like Little League. When the best player, if you could look back and he was pitching or playing center field, whatever, you'd think like, yeah, we're going to win this game, right? We got that guy. That's Kawhi for this team. He wasn't there. When it turns 6 points and the home crowd's not really, you know, they showed up late and they're lackluster and you've already lost twice, heartbreakers on the road that you should have won, you collapse if you're not well coached. Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck. At Pier 17, Richard in Manhattan. What you got on your mind, Richard?
Max, I think Monty Williams made a mistake by starting Chris Paul. I would have started Campaign because they were doing well enough. I would have brought Chris Paul slowly off the bench instead of putting all that pressure on him. He had the COVID, and there was no need to put the pressure of starting. He could have eased into the game. And,
are you saying that, okay, Richard, are you saying that would have been a very bold move? Are you saying that in retrospect, or did you feel that way going into the game?
No, because I'm a believer in you don't fix something that wasn't broken. They weren't broken. They won two straight games. What do you want Campaign to do? He had 29 points and 9 assists in the game before.
Yeah, he's been great. Now, listen, I'll amend my list a little bit. My coaching list, if I could have any coach, it would be Richard from Manhattan and then Ty Lue. Josh in Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, appreciate it. So a lot of people have been giving Trae Young props recently, and I'm just curious. I'd like to get your take on it. You put up 48 points.
Hold on 1 second. Raj, mute yourself. Raj, mute yourself. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry, we're doing a radio show. Go ahead.
Yeah, a lot of people have been giving Trae Young a lot of props lately, and I'm curious what you think about it. He put up a lot of attempts in the last game. Did win it for him, so I got to give him some credit there. But I felt like there was a lot of threes that were from beyond the arc that he was kind of putting up. I loved it when he was going to the hole, but I feel like people are getting a little ahead of themselves on Trae Young.
I disagree with you. I understand why you're saying it, but I disagree with you. Trae Young, I brought this up about Steph Curry. Steph's genius, his imagination, he's a big imagination. He was like, I can shoot from all the way down there. And I have great handles, so like I keep trying to explain, when I see Kyrie get to the paint using those handles, every motion, every movement is precise. He knows exactly where that ball is going to be. That's not the impression I get from Steph. The impression I get from Steph is, yeah, I'm pretty sure the ball is going to be there where I want it to be, and I'm willing to take chances with that. And that's the kind of player Trae is. Trae is not the greatest three-point shooter of all time, but he shoots it well enough that he's, you know, it's going to go in more, you know, more times than you would think. Same thing with, like, that's why he's fearless. He takes after Steph in that way. He's going to take some risks with his talent. And so when I see him taking threes that maybe for others would be ill-advised, even if it doesn't go in, that's part of what makes him so dangerous. And you have to respect him when he does it because he hits them enough. If it was another player other than Trae, I would agree with you. But the way he played in game one, I can't criticize. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. All right. We got a lot to do today. A lot to do, Raj. Isn't that right, Raj? And we're not on the right screen, but that's okay. Because coming up, I'm going to speak to Tyler Tynes of... I'm not going to speak to Tyler Tynes. I'm going to talk about Scottie Pippen, though. How's that? I'm going to talk about Scottie Pippen on the Max Kellerman Show and what he had to say about Kevin Durant and what Kevin Durant had to say about him and what I have to say about both of them. Pippen tweeted at me about it. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
GJ&Z. Tomorrow marks 75 days until the NFL season kicks off.
0-3 lifetime in the playoffs. Let's be real. 12 years, you don't say that about other people. You did not elevate your team the way that a $100 million-plus dollar quarterback should.
Countdown to the biggest season ever with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Monday starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Raj, just pay the Wi-Fi bill at the house. Just pay the Wi-Fi bill. It keeps going out. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Speaking to Tyler Tynes of GQ, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Famer, Scottie Pippen. Discussed why Kevin Durant has not yet surpassed LeBron James in the NBA hierarchy. Quote, KD can score better than LeBron, probably already always has been able to, but has he surpassed LeBron? Nah. He tried to beat the Milwaukee Bucks instead of utilizing his team. You see what I'm saying? LeBron James would have figured out how to beat them, and he wouldn't have been exhausted. May have not taken the last shot. But LeBron ain't KD, and KD ain't LeBron. KD's a shooter, a scorer, but doesn't have what LeBron has. KD fired back. He felt like that was an attack. First of all, I don't think that's an attack. I think Scottie Pippen's just saying KD is a better scorer, LeBron's a better passer. I mean, was Michael Jordan as great a passer as Magic Johnson? No. And there were people who would make a similar argument in Jordan's day. Well, I'd rather have Magic because of this. They were wrong. You'd always rather have Jordan. But they felt that way. I don't know, it's not a knock against Michael Jordan. He couldn't pass the ball like Magic or Bird. He did other things. And for Pippen's money, he prefers the things that LeBron does. KD went at him, though. Thin-skinned. Didn't the great Scottie Pippen refuse to go in the game for a last-second shot because he was in his feelings? His coach drew up a play for a better shooter? This guy, Scott, also wanted to enjoy his summer, so he chose to rehab during the season. LOL. Yo, Scottie Pippen. They followed Phil, not you. All right. I mean, like, look, KD is like this. I respect this about KD. He doesn't care if it's Scottie Pippen or an anonymous person on social media. If you say something about him and he perceives it as negative, he's going to clap back. in this case, Scottie Pippen, his opinion is being solicited as a member of the media or someone who gives opinions in the media. His opinion's being solicited by a guy at GQ. And he's answering the question honestly. He's not taking a shot at KD. Pippen was like, you know what LeBron is? I mean, metaphorically speaking, is Pippen on steroids. I don't mean he's he's a blown up Scottie Pippen. So Pippen prefers that kind of player. A forward who is a playmaking passer who can also score, not a great shooter, but maybe just a good enough shooter. And like LeBron is Pippen. Everything Pippen could do, at least on the offensive end, LeBron can do better. But that's the style of player he is. So sure, Pippen favors that kind of player. It's not a knock on KD. KD took it that way, though. Kendrick Perkins on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin weighed in on this whole thing.
At the end of the day, we will never see another LeBron James in the history of the NBA. Secondly, we will never see another Kevin Durant in the history of the NBA. Both of these guys are generational talents. Both of these guys are unique in their own way. So let's really stop comparing. In my opinion, LeBron James is the best all-around player to ever play the game of basketball. KD is the greatest scorer to ever play the game of basketball, in my opinion. But to Scott, listening to Scotty or reading what Scotty said about Kevin Durant, especially in the Milwaukee Bucks series, told me one thing and one thing only, that he don't watch the game of basketball.
And that's Perk's go-to line every time he disagrees, he don't watch the game. Now, people just come with different opinions. Look, the greatest player of all time is Michael Jordan. By the way, clear cut Michael Jordan. But if someone says, no, it's LeBron, and I'll tell you why, because of greater longevity at almost Jordan's level, or because I define greatness, says someone, let's say, as the guy who can do more with less. LeBron could certainly do more with less than Michael Jordan. LeBron is the only player I've ever seen who didn't need help to get a team to the finals. Couldn't win a finals without help, but could get a team there with no help. No one else could do that, ever. LeBron could do it. But if you have a team around you, Jordan will win every time. Not most of the time, not something. He'll win every time. And that ain't LeBron. LeBron sometimes gets beat. He had a comparable team to San Antonio. He had a championship-caliber team 4 years in Miami. He won two, lost two. In Cleveland, he would have won two, won against all odds to his credit, but his guys got hurt. But I understand if Scottie Pippen or someone else or Perk says, hey, I like the guy who can do more with less. For my money, I like the guy, because since no one can win the whole thing by themselves, I like the guy who you give him a crew, he'll never lose, ever. That's Jordan. But someone else might like LeBron. Someone might like look at KD and go, I like the pure scorer. Someone else says, no, LeBron's not the pure scorer as much as KD is, but he helps in other ways. But actually, in LeBron and KD's case, there is a clear-cut answer. I'm not talking about this year. Maybe KD's caught him. We'll find out next year. But till this point in their careers, LeBron's clearly been the superior player. That's not controversial. Like, the reason KD wound up on the Warriors is because the Warriors won 73 games, looked at LeBron and said, dude, we still can't beat this dude. He took us six games with Dellavedova as his second best player, and then we won 73 games. He still beat us. We can't beat this dude. Maybe if we add KD to a 73-win team. And KD looked and said he couldn't even get past the Warriors. He had Westbrook. He had Ibaka. He had Steven Adams. He had a crew. He took the Warriors to a Game 7, but in Game 7 didn't show up big, and the Warriors beat him. So KD is looking, going, all right, Warriors and KD looked at each other and then looked at LeBron and said, to get past that dude, we need to link up. And of course, if KD joins the Warriors, they're going to crush everyone. Of course LeBron didn't have a shot. His team wasn't as good. But the fact that KD even wound up on the Warriors is because LeBron James exists. And those two MVPs he won in the finals. I mean, it's easier to win an MVP in the finals when you got Steph and Klay and Dre and Iggy. You can play a lot looser when you have a crew like that. Your chest could be puffed out. Yeah, I mean, and the first time he won the MVP, LeBron was so clearly the MVP of the first time they linked up. Second time, KD had a better case. I still would have given it to LeBron, but KD had a better case the second time.
So there is an answer as to who has been better until now. It's a question now, given the level KD's playing at and given LeBron's injury and age. But until this season, LeBron's better than KD, and that's not controversial. And what Pippen said, I don't think is controversial. A KD, boy, if you say anything negative about KD, he's coming at your neck. That's who he is. The Clippers were in the zone last night, taking game three, and the zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. So who got it right, KD or Pippen? Axe Max is next, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now, you can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The NBA Eastern Conference Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. Game 2, Bucks host the Hawks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations.
Axe. Max.
Jonathan in Georgia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max, I don't disparage any athlete for being a part of a great team to win a championship, and I wouldn't do it to LeBron James or Kevin Durant. My question for you is, why is Kevin Durant diminished for what he did in Golden State, or LeBron's not for what he did in Miami, having Dwayne Wade,
good
Chris
question.
Bosh, and then adding Ray Allen to win another title?
Good question. I don't think LeBron is diminished by Miami. At first, I think it could have been that had Dwayne Wade remained a top three or four player during LeBron's time there. Because it's like, come on, LeBron, you are the best player in the game. You're gonna team up with another top five player and another perennial all-star. What does it really prove? In fact, Dwayne Wade was no longer quite that. He was still an all-star, but he was no longer MVP caliber by the time he hooked up with LeBron. And I don't think it's simply because LeBron showed up. He was in slight decline. And also, it was put together the way a GM might put a team together. Just LeBron was the GM. That was different. And by the way, and some people do say, like, come on, LeBron, you stacked the deck. That was different than joining a 73-win team. Kevin Durant took a team that had won 73 games. You didn't have to trade for him. In other words, subtract anything from the team. Yes, Bogut, but come on. I mean, you know, you had to fit the salary, but he simply joined a 73-win team. If you have a player like KD, who's only ever going to be additive to any team he's ever on, because he doesn't demand to take X number of shots a game. He's a willing passer. He's a defender. He can shoot from anywhere. He can finish. He can shoot free throws. He's actually the ultimate complementary player because he can complement any team, just make it better. When you take a guy like that, like, it didn't need to be KD. It could have been Paul George. It could have been a top 20 player added simply to that Golden State team. They'd be invincible. But it was KD. So I hear what you're saying. Well, didn't LeBron do something similar? LeBron kind of led the way, but what KD did was 2.0. Like, it got out of hand. Xavier in North Carolina, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
I just want to talk about what Scottie Pippen said. I really believe the attributes are the same between the two. Kevin Durant just a little bit slider as far as shooting. So my question to you is, why do people think that LeBron LeBron's far superiority is better than him? Maybe because he won that championship going back to the Cavaliers.
Let's put it this way. I'll say this. LeBron took a Cavs team, which has had arguably the worst roster ever in a finals, to a finals. He did that by himself. No other all-stars on the team. He shows up in Miami. Four straight years, they go to the finals. Two of them, they win. He shows up in Cleveland. Four straight years, they go to the finals. Would have won two. Actually, you want to know the truth? Would have won four straight. Let me tell you what happened. First year, Kyrie and Kevin Love get hurt in the playoffs. So he has to play the Warriors without his second or third best player. Still, he takes him six games. I guarantee you they win that series if Kyrie and Kevin Love are healthy. That's one. The next year, the Warriors took a jump up, and he led his team back on them anyway and beat them. Then they added KD. If they don't add KD, maybe they beat him one out of the next 2 years, right? he'd have had two, maybe three, maybe four championships in Cleveland. But Golden State stacked the deck. KD never did anything like that. KD has been to three finals and won two. Sorry, he's been to four finals and won two. The first time with Harden and Westbrook and Ibaka when they were all babies. I don't hold it against KD that they didn't win, but they didn't. The next time he joined a 73-win team that then became invincible. I'm not going to give – that doesn't prove anything about your greatness that you win a championship on that team. And then he tore his Achilles, and I'm not holding that against him either, obviously, that they lost to Toronto. They obviously would have won with him. When did KD ever take a team to a championship? Even this year. Okay, I'm not holding it against KD either this year. I'm not holding it against him that Kyrie and Harden got hurt. I'm not holding it against him. He played out of his mind. But I have yet to see KD take a team and make a real championship run. You know, the only time he did it was on an unfair Warriors team. Let me ask you this. If LeBron James was with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, what do you think would happen? I'll guarantee you this. The Houston Rockets ain't taking them no seven games. James in Texas. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm trying to figure out what you think about Kawhi and Leonard going to New Orleans, and who you think they will be? Who will be the next coach for them?
I haven't heard Kawhi Leonard going to New Orleans. I think Kawhi likes it in L.A., and if he leaves, I'm hearing Miami. And who's going to be the next coach where?
In New Orleans, the Pelicans, for the Pelicans.
That's a good question. I think you have to sit down with Zion Williamson and see who, you know, see what kind of coach fits him and who he'd like to coach that team. And that's the smartest way to do it. Okay, by the way, even in Portland, Damian Lillard, I'm hearing he wanted Jason Kidd. Let me tell you something. Even if he did, I would seriously sit down with Lillard and say, like, you really need Mike D'Antoni. Like, you have, like, if you link up with Mike D'Antoni, watch what happens. But with rare exception, I think you take the superstar on the team if you believe he's a true MVP caliber player, and you figure it out with him who he wants to coach the team and what you give him input. Not necessarily make the call, but at least give him input. We watching the best coach in the NBA right now, Max Kellerman Show.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.